Hi there, I'm Levi James, and this is Ian Anderson. We're both from Launch and Release, and today we are talking to Jerry Gomez, who raised $8,140 on Kickstarter, and his project just ended a couple days ago, so we wanted to dive in and figure out exactly how he was able to raise that much money.
Darn tootin', fake Newton. So, Jerry, how you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, guys.
Great.
Very excited about the results of the Kickstarter. A lot of work.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, before we jump right into that, can you just kind of tell us a little bit about your musical story, your background, and then when this group came together and a little bit of the stuff leading up to the campaign?
Yeah. My band is called the Damn Givers. We've been around. I'm the stalwart. I'm the singer-songwriter, so I'm the guy putting it all together. It's been existing for about 5, 6, 7 years. And 4 years ago, I did put out an EP, and that was through, you know, funding it myself. This project, though, years later, I've got a lot of new material and just excited to get it out there. So a couple years back, actually, I started the recording process with some funds and some barter type of a deal. So my project was kind of already recorded, but then I realized I really got strapped for cash and ran out of money and had been thinking for years about the Kickstarter platform, seen a lot of people do it. Having a group together for more than 5 years, I finally felt like I had enough people sort of on the mail list and in the Facebook to make it worthwhile just based on the numbers. And I came across you guys somehow, probably looking at crowdsourcing, and thought it'd be a good time to at least try it, hear your webinar, which was really informative and really great. And given that my day job is sort of marketing and advertising, a lot of the principles that you guys were talking about really made a lot of sense to me. And I knew it was just a matter of having the wherewithal, committing to it, and doing it. So it takes some effort, but you got to kind of get yourself to that point. I think the most beautiful thing that you guys did in the process was the band is called Damn Givers. You actually stripped away all that sort of like routine of managing a band, being in a band, booking gigs, and all that stuff that you think about, stripped it back to the core of why I make music in the first place, which is really to reach a broader audience and hit people with a message. I like bringing people together through music. I have a lot of sort of value kind of statements in my music through
awesome.
The process.
We'll go into detail with that. We'd love to hear a little bit more about that. But before we get too far in, can you give us a feel for your mailing list numbers, your Facebook numbers, just so the person watching can sort of gauge where they're at compared to where you started, because I think most people watching could really get some value out of that.
Right. I think one of the biggest numbers that came out early on was about everybody's got 100 friends, family, immediate, you know, contacts that you're going to personally get a hold of, email, call, or real close friends that you're going to depend on. So started with 100 there, started with 600 so personal friends contact in my personal Facebook page, had 225 or so fans through the band. I'm not super aggressive getting people into the band, and I do see a lot of other people reaching out and getting people. I've always let kind of people come to us. I think in this process I'm going to go out there and try to find more people. And then the email list, our band's email list was about a couple hundred people too.
Couple hundred people. Great. Yep. And just kind of sticking with that, going into the Wayback Machine, before you decided you were going to do a Kickstarter for sure, what were a couple, like your one or two biggest fears that may have prevented you from doing crowdfunding at all? And then sort of how did you address those and overcome them?
Simple one word, failure. Failure, probably. And that theme kind of came through during the process, too. But I live by a couple of quotes, one being this quote from Wayne Gretzky. I know I'm not going to make all my shots that I take, but I know for sure I'm going to miss the ones that I don't take. And also, you can never be afraid to ask. All you can, if you can deal with no, you'll be fine. It was that it wouldn't happen, and just the financial state that I am in personally, and the money that was there with the band wasn't enough to finish the project as well as I wanted to finish it. much less get the publicity. As much as I've been putting out music there and making music, I really, in this next release, have to reach a broader audience, which for me is, my music's kind of Americana in roots, so the audiences are in LA, I'm LA-based, hitting Austin and hitting Nashville, and I just knew that that wasn't going to happen. So the real fear was, if I didn't raise that, I'm not going to get out to those audiences.
Great. So you were pretty concerned about what would happen if you failed, but you managed to overcome that sort of sheerly out of basic need. Like, the only way to move your whole situation forward was to tackle the project regardless of the outcome and get your feet wet and get moving forward. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely. To really buy into the premise, and because I did have sort of that advertising sort of sense, the pitch in the webinar, the one of the more crucial things that you guys mentioned is that people donate to support your project because of you, less the music a lot of times, because they want to back you. That started making a lot of sense to me, as well as some of the presentation stuff that you had from TED, where the message has to be about what's your purpose, what's your passion. Once I understood, again, stripping it way back to the reason I make music in the first place, I just felt, I've got to do this now. People will believe it or else they won't believe it, and that'll at least help me on this sort of career path. I think musicians always hit sort of a stage where either you hit a tour or you've just finished an album, and it's kind of a gut check for the musicians that you're playing with, and it's a gut check for yourself, too. So I just kind of wanted to reel this all in and sort of see where I was at this point, and either it came through as it did, I'm so thankful, or it wouldn't, and it would just help me sort of figure out where I am. But thankfully, it's almost like a signpost that says, you know, there is support out there, and keep on rolling. So I'm going to keep doing that.
So during the campaign, what would you say the biggest challenge ended up being?
For me, yeah, a couple of things. It wasn't time. I was definitely committed to time. I would say that is a challenging part for it, and there's been a bunch of people in our group that, you know, you really have to dedicate yourself to it. And I found easily it was 20 hours a week. But the challenge was once finding the time once it launched, that I was in a clear frame of mind to hustle out there and make the calls and get the contacts going. Being real clear in the preload, I think, was probably my biggest deficit. And it left me with the challenge midway through of, okay, like, how am I going to get the numbers back up there? So I did a lot of scrambling at the end, but
how specifically, so the person watching, I think, really can get some value from how you overcame that, because, you know, we see a lot of projects with a similar trajectory to yours where, you know, you hit that mid-campaign slump, and for the artist, they tend to freak out and start second-guessing.
Absolutely.
Can you, first of all, tell us what happened and what was going through your brain, say, 6 days before the project ended, and how did you overcome that?
That, Levi, that was actually very, very classic, and I think you actually contributed towards my confidence in finishing out the project, because it was a Wednesday. My project was going to end on Monday, and I felt like I was, I don't know, 40% away, something like that, and I thought, you know what, it's just not going to happen. And we had a conversation, and I really want to thank you for giving me the chutzpah to finish up the project, because what you told me at that time was, we've seen so many projects at the same point that you are, and if you just dedicate yourself to it, sell yourself on the idea, you told me specifically, go Tony Robbins on it, and just be completely positive. And it honestly changed my thinking, and I just sort of threw off any pretenses that I had, and just went balls out, and just called absolutely everybody, harassed them, and things fell into place. Some big things happened at the end, but it was really your support through that end period that got me over the top. Because I would have given up.
Awesome. Well, so you, we know that you're sort of tongue-in-cheek when you say harass them. Could you give us some specific examples of how your the tone of your communication might have changed at that point from between you and people individually? And,
you know, it's pretty funny because I think the tone was following your lead was really upbeat and just saying, I mean, woot, woot, we did it, we're here, it's going to happen. It was just all completely positive. I'm so blessed to have your support. I'm so thankful that this project is going to see the light of day. It's just a few days from closing. Help support that, the message, help support this project and get this stuff out there. I really can't thank you enough. It's been awesome. What an emotional ride. That was really kind of the language. And never sort of the other end of the spectrum. It was just always positive. We're going to get there. It's going to get done. I can't believe it. I'm amazed and so thankful and really, really, truly was. And it was the follow-up, hitting people 3, 4, 5, 6 times that got them to do it and reminding some people even that, you know, earlier at some point in the process, they'd made some commitments to want to do it. So just kind of gentle reminder of let's do it.
Yeah. I know Ian's got a question, but I something just popped into my head. So I know that the person watching right now is thinking to themselves, I don't want to talk to people individually. I don't want to feel like a beggar or that I'm hounding people multiple times. And I know at points throughout your campaign, and certainly before you launched, you had some of those same thoughts. What's your take now after having done it? Do you feel badly about, you know, hounding people or do you view any of it as begging? Like, how do you think your friends and fans perceived how you communicated with them? Is this a myth, or is this, you know, looking back, is it kind of true?
Well, there's, I think, my mindset and how I perceive it versus how other people perceive it. There was definitely a point where I felt like it was begging and hounding some people. And that's not necessarily my comfort zone or my style, but I'd say that post close of the event, that people that weren't able to contribute maybe were avoiding interaction, but after the fact they thanked me or congratulated me, thanked me for reaching out to them, and I think felt a little bit better about explaining where they were at in the process, that they were just strapped. And I think maybe there was some humility on their end that, you know, it's tough to say, I can't contribute, I want to, but we just don't have the funds. So all of that taken in stride, I was just happy that they sent over good vibes or supported it, however they could support it. Afterwards, I didn't really feel like it was, there's a purpose. It drove me back to the purpose. Now I've got the ability to finish this thing.
Is it safe to say that these people that you were reaching out to perceived that as more of, hey, friend, I'm just excited about this project I'm doing? Is it safe to say they perceived it as that versus, hey, friend, please give me money?
Yeah, in fact, one communication I got was specifically that. Hey, Jerry, so excited to see your enthusiasm for the project, but we weren't able to help out because of this, that, or the other thing, but glad that you made your goal. And I know that they'll come around at some other point. And then there's even some people that realize that they missed it and are contacting me on the side that still want to help out. So it's pretty cool too. Yeah, totally cool.
Yeah, well, that's a really key part of your experience, and we're glad you shared it with us. I mean, it is always challenging reaching out to people, and it's always challenging dealing with yourself, and you did a good job with that. Kind of segueing into the next thing, you know, we haven't had much of a chance to catch up since you finished this up. Any big surprises during your campaign that you want to share with us?
Yeah. It was in that last 4-day stretch. So, in fact, Levi, when we got on the phone and you asked on that Wednesday, so when does your project end? I was like, Monday. But it actually happened to be Labor Day weekend Monday. And so I think there was a note of trepidation on your part, like, oh, crap, I wish we had noted that earlier, that it's a holiday weekend. So I had taken off Friday and much of Thursday, and I was just committed to the whole weekend of doing this. And I found actually that Thursday, Friday, Saturday was kind of that limit, that activity is really slow, and I figured it kind of would be. So I knew I was going to hit up a lot of people on Monday, and I was at that point really pretty close, like $600 or something away. So I figured it was kind of a done deal. But a dozen or more, so more people that I thought would bridge that gap, I was just hitting them up, messaging in Facebook, and the big surprise was I hit 10 out of the 12. I got a click on my email. I looked at my email, and a friend put in $1,000 at the very end, and that totally put me over the top. And I looked at that, and I was like, no way, this is totally wrong. And I was welled up in tears, and I just couldn't believe it. I felt relief that I was over the top, but just relief that a friend would come to help the project out like he did, as big as he did. And I got on the phone immediately, and I was like, dude, you made a big mistake on your pledge. You put an extra zero in there. And he was like, no, it should be a grand. That's what we want to do. That's good. So I was like, wow. It was so humbling. And verklempt was kind of the word that I was using in a lot of my communications. It's just a staggering, crazy, emotional roller coaster during the whole process. And then when people stepped up real big at the end, that was just great.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, you know, time after time, artists tell us about how surprising it is where some of your support comes from. And people that you just think would be automatic pledges, maybe they don't back for whatever reason. And people that you just would write off and wouldn't even think about writing on your lists, you write them down, you call them, and boom, something crazy like that happens. So it's got to be
There were surprises like that. Hello?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Can you still hear me? Yeah, some of the surprises too were just some of the people that did come out of the lives of Jerry past, people I haven't been in touch with 20 some years or whatever, but a couple people that came in fairly decent, you know, $100, a couple $100 from childhood and stuff like that was really amazing. In fact, one of the people that missed it that came in at the end was kid I played baseball with and used to trade baseball cards with, who lives down in San Diego and is going to hook us up on some shows down there and get the band in for birthday parties and that kind of stuff. So I was real excited about that.
There's some really interesting psychology behind why people pledge, you know, and those people that maybe you haven't talked to in a long time, a lot of times pledge for different reasons than you might expect. It says more about them, so it's more about how it makes them feel than it is about, you know, quote-unquote helping you out a lot of times. So that's why you can never guess or try to predict who will and who won't pledge, who will give 15 and who will give 1500. You simply can't predict it.
Yeah, I think the lesson to be learned is don't be shy about coming up with that list. And the circles of influence kind of get to be maybe 4 or 5 degrees away from your current largest circle. But my wife.
Hey, you ever make me a green smoothie as well? I'm starving.
Sure will. I just finished a banana right now.
That is awesome. No, well, that's great.
It's the longest coffee grinder in the world. Okay, there we go. Yeah, the circles are really cool. That through a second or third degree, someone sort of bringing it up to somebody that they hear about it. So when you're coming up with that list, it's really important just to consider how you're going to kind of reach out to people. And God bless Facebook. If it weren't really for Facebook, I wouldn't be seeing people from 20 years ago.
Yeah, cool. Well, Jerry, that's a great story, and we're glad you took the time to share it. Enjoy the process of releasing the album, and definitely send some tunes over our way.
Will do. Very, very excited about getting it there. So
you'll
hear about it, and it'll be a good time.
Well, thanks a ton.
Alrighty.